It's now time for the Satellite Guys podcast. Featuring all the latest news, talk, and rumors from the world of satellite. Plus all the latest headlines from the world of home theater technologies. And now, here is your host, Goalie Bob Nemitz.
Hey, Satellite Guys, welcome to another exciting edition of the SatelliteGuys.us podcast. And last week's Scotty Chat went off pretty well.
Yeah, it went off well, except for when we got disconnected there for a couple minutes. But if you heard the replay, the replay sounded excellent, and a lot of people got to call in and had a great time.
Yeah, it was definitely fun giving away free money for everybody at our Christmas party. And, I wish for Dish Network customers they could have had the same thing, but unfortunately Uncle Charlie wasn't too giving this year.
Yeah, the Charlie chat, well, let's put it bluntly, it sucked. Charlie got on there and said, we may add some new HD in the future, and these may be some of the channels we're adding. He's been pushing the carrot in front of the horse too long here, and, they've been promising for a long time that all these new HD channels are going to be coming before the end of the year, and the end of the year is only 2 or 3 weeks away. And, by the all sounds of it on the Charlie chat, he didn't sound too optimistic we're going to see any high definition at all. In fact, it sounded like it would be March sometime around there before we saw any new HD.
Yeah, the high definition that they did show on the Charlie chat was all the Viacom channels, which there's only a couple of them that really do show HD. I know from the DirecTV side, like MTV and CMT HD, they say they show HD, but it's really not HD. But I'd rather take the HD version because the standard definition content looks fantastic versus what DirecTV gives for standard definition. So it's kind of a wash.
Yeah, but that was one of the things that Charlie said. Charlie said he was looking for real 24/7 true HD content. And he said he's having trouble finding channels that offer that. When the moron had 15 channels of Voom that were 24/7 HD at one time, it seems like he forgot all about that and wants us to forget about that. You can't have it both ways, Charlie.
Yeah, I know. And speaking of having it both ways, it is almost the end of the year, and it's that time of the year where we see local channels disappear because of content redistribution rights.
Yep, and we've seen that this week. On Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Dish Network removed all 11 or 12 of the Young Broadcasting channels from the local and local packages from services around the country. Some good news tonight is all the channels are back. So somebody at Dish Network put in a little overtime this weekend and met with the people from Young Broadcasting and came to some type of deal.
Yeah, that's definitely good news. As always, I would love to see them be able to negotiate without having to remove the local channels, because that is people's lifelines, especially right now with it being the middle of winter and storms and stuff like that. And, it's always good news that they are able to work hard and get these channels back up for those people who were missing those channels.
Yep, and it was good news to see it on Sunday night. Right during dinner time for everybody, these channels just reappeared. So that is very good news. We don't know any terms of the deal, and chances are we probably won't hear what the settlement was, but obviously both sides are happy because the channels are back online.
Speaking of good news, Dish Network did have a rub of good luck with the CL launch.
Yeah, the CL launch went up nicely the other morning. It was Tuesday morning, and we had a nice big Satellite Guys chat room. We had almost 100 people in the chat room for the launch of CL2, and it was picture-perfect, as picture-perfect can be as far as satellite launches go. And the good news is it made it. All the burns went as planned. Everything's looking nominal, and the satellite is currently coasting towards its testing orbit. We'll test it a certain spot in the sky before they move it over to 129, but so far, everything is looking very good.
Yeah, that's definitely great news. It looks like they got it done right this time. Last time, ANSI-14 did not make its final burn, and that has seemed to be fixed. And go CL2, and can't wait to see it at 129, and looks like it should be there by March, as in lines with Dish Network's plans of adding more high-definition content.
Yeah, I don't think it will be any longer than January, to be honest with you. But let's switch gears now and go to DirecTV. DirecTV had a lot of news coming out of it this week, and I'm not sure I'm happy with all the news that came out of DirecTV this week. Let's start off with the cancellation of the HD PC-20, which I received word about and was one of the first people on the internet to post about when the cancellation came out. earlier this week. The HD PC20 was a USB tuner that would interface DirecTV with your computer system and basically turn your computer running Windows Media Center into a full-blown DVR. So your computer is basically turns into an HR20 or what have you, using that USB box. Well, DirecTV has suspended development of that program, which kind of surprises me, and I'll tell you why, and I'll just come out and say why. Because about 2 weeks ago, I got a call from DirecTV, and they were really, really excited about the product, and they were offering it to Satellite Guys an exclusive for reviewing it and giving us all kinds of information on it. It was going to be a nice exclusive for us at Satellite Guys, you know, one of those first looks. And when they told me about it, they were really, really excited about it. And it really surprised me to hear that they decided to suspend the program. And it kind of saddens me a little bit because I know a lot of the heavy-duty people who enjoy the technology were really looking forward to the HD PC20 from DirecTV. So that one really took me by surprise.
Yeah, another reason why this took me by surprise was the fact that Dish Network has their version of the HD PC20 still in development with Microsoft Stargate. And essentially, DirecTV is now giving the ball to Dish Network, and Dish Network can run with this ball and be the first with a product like this out on the market.
Right, and if you follow the gadget sites, one of the excellent ones out there is Engadget, and Ben Drabaugh, who hosts the Engadget podcast over at Engadget, actually went to Microsoft a few weeks ago and got to see the HD PC20 in action, and also got to see a little sneak peek of the Dish Network box that was also in operation there at Microsoft. And he was really excited about what he saw. And Ben was also, shocked like we were to hear that the program is essentially canceled.
Yeah, I know. And for those Satellite Guys listeners, feel free to go over to Engadget. They really do put out some great material over there. And speaking of negative news over at DirecTV, DirecTV did announce that this week that they are also doing a spending and hiring freeze.
Liberty Media is really taking over now. That's my take on it. They're hitting the brakes, and late Friday night, they decided to finalize spinning off DirecTV into Liberty Entertainment. Liberty Entertainment just made up of DirecTV, which shows me that they're looking to do something with DirecTV, possibly even sell it.
Yeah, I don't like the news coming out of DirecTV, and I've said in the forums that DirecTV is starting to go in a tanker, and the reason why is because of all this negative news. They had such great positive news and such positive momentum coming out, and it's just like they hit a brick wall. And when Dish Network started going the tanker, that's the same thing that happened. They hit a brick wall, and then the next day there was nothing.
Well, yeah, DirecTV was on really a spending spree for quite a while there, and that was just before Rupert Murdoch finished spinning the company off to Liberty Media, and that's when we saw all the new HD channels going online and all the great offerings from DirecTV. And, you know, a lot of us, including myself and you, Bob, said this DirecTV is where we want to be because it's where it's happening. You know, Dish Network is dead. They're not spending any money on new programming. They're not coming out with any new equipment. They're not doing anything. We want to be with DirecTV. And now Liberty Media is taking over, and it's like hitting the brakes is the way to describe it. And, the only way I can think of what's going on there is, again, they're preparing to sell DirecTV off. When you have a profitable company and you're doing well, they're not losing subscribers. Their subscriber numbers are looking excellent. And to have them just start tightening the reins, from hiring freeze, spending freeze, they've even pulled out of the Consumer Electronics Show in January. That's how bad things are at DirecTV now as far as spending-wise. And you got to ask yourself, why are they doing this? The only thing that comes to mind, again, is the company's for sale.
Yeah, you're right, Scott. And it's really weird. I think the reason why most customers are getting really frustrated with DirecTV now is they have the bandwidth up there with DirecTV 12. And they decided, instead of offering new channels, they decided to put up high-definition pay-per-view channels in place of real HD content. And also, coming up is 2009 real quick, and they're going to be having a launch in mid-2009, so they're going to be adding capacity within the next 6 months. So they have some bandwidth to play with, and a lot of the customers want to see these new high-definition channels like Travel Channel HD, which we don't have, and there's a couple others out there, in place of high-definition pay-per-view channels.
Yeah, it's really kind of sad to see what's happening at the moment, and you know, hopefully somebody realizes what's going on and they decide to open up the pocketbooks a little bit, but if you're tightening down like this, you're trying to make the books look good for something. Another thing they did this week that was also some bad news was basically they said that the NASCAR Hot Pass is being canceled from DirecTV. Now, everybody who works on the NASCAR Hot Pass production was told the news that they're not being renewed and they're not doing Hot Pass the next season. The official word coming out of DirecTV to me was that they're taking the Hot Pass and evolving it into a new product that will be free to all DirecTV customers. Now, I don't know what they can do if they're firing all their producers who produce these extra Hot Pass channels for DirecTV, but whatever they decide to spin it into, I don't think it's ever going to be as good as the product they offered this year.
Yeah, I was extremely disappointed with the Hot Pass news because I did subscribe to it in the past, and Hot Pass was a really, really well produced and really well thought out. In fact, I even put a thread in the DirecTV forum on how they can improve it by removing the commercials, so that way you can get more of the driver audio experience. And it was kind of a big shocker that they would remove Hot Pass when there's a lot of NASCAR fans out there that do subscribe to this, and it's a very exciting sports entertainment package.
Well, yeah, ultimately, and while they won't say this publicly, but it's been talked to me, you know, off record from friends at DirecTV, was that not enough NASCAR fans actually signed up for the package to make the production worthwhile. If it's costing you more to produce the channels and uplink four to five special high-definition channels and standard-definition channels just for these broadcasts each week, you know, that production costs a lot of money, and if customers ain't covering the cost of it, there's no real reason to continue it.
Right, and that makes sense. DirecTV should be upfront about that and say that to their customers and express that, so their customers could see that that's what's going on, or potentially better market the channels for 2009 instead of abruptly taking them down.
Well, I think that what's happening there, and this is, I think DirecTV is basically covering for NASCAR. I don't think they want to say that they're not getting enough subscribers to NASCAR because that hurts NASCAR's image. And, you know, they've been a good partner to NASCAR, and NASCAR's been good to them. And, you know, if you look at the ratings right now, they're on a slide down. You know, NASCAR goes through popularity spikes, and it's on the way down. So if they went out and said, you know, people ain't buying NASCAR, that's the reason we're canceling it, it makes NASCAR look like it really isn't a big decline.
Right. NASCAR is having their issues right now, especially with the slow economy and sponsors pulling out. So that does make sense.
You know, here's what I hate about NASCAR. Number one, this chase to the cup is stupid. I hate it. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. The average fan at home can't figure out the points watching a race of who's going around the track to figure out who's in first place and all this other stuff. It's too damn confusing. What I'd like to see is, you know, the top 10 guys, top 15 guys get together at the end of the year and have a race-off like a Super Bowl. You know, something like that, you know, where there's an ultimate winner. You know, this Jimmy Johnson stuff that's been happening the past couple of years is just too predictable and ultimately too boring for the fans at home. They want to, you know, they want to go to a race and see their winner, you know, their racer come out on top. And when you got a driver that, you know, it's not a bad driver, but has all the points and there's no mathematical way he could lose unless he crashed into a fireball, it really makes the product really boring to watch, number one. Number two, you know, NASCAR is the National Association of Stock Car Racing. When's the last time you've seen a stock car in a NASCAR race? I want to see them going down to the local Ford and Chevy and whatever dealers and picking up their fastest car and racing it like it is right off the showroom floor. To me, that would make it a hell of a lot more interesting and seeing what modifications they can do to the car to make it even faster. You know, these cars aren't really cars. They're metal bodies that have been created and have an engine thrown into them, but they're not a stock car. You know, maybe NASCAR should change their name if they're not going to use stock cars. But you know, these are the reason people are or even me are finding NASCAR kind of boring lately, because number one, the point thing doesn't work, and number two, the cars are racing out there aren't really cars. They're not, you know, your normal stock cars. It's not interesting to see what kind of modifications they can do. When I was growing up in the 70s, you know, all my friends were trying to emulate the cars they saw on television and would do all kinds of stuff to their cars to make them souped up in hot rods. You don't see that anymore. You don't see the monkey wrenches out there trying to make, you know, their car be into the super hot rod thing. And it's too bad, because it was a neat thing to see and help your friends make their car even better into a better car. I'm sorry about going off on a rant in NASCAR there, but that's my feeling on the state of NASCAR.
Oh, it's all right, Scott. I think you got Detroit's answer right there to their problems.
Hey, Bob, by the way, we were talking on a Scotty chat the other night, and you were saving cans for something. I can't remember. What were you saving cans for again?
To buy the Cubs, I think, is what
it is. My inside information says that you were going to pay the governor of Illinois to buy Barack Obama's seat. Is there any truth to that?
Well, you know, I do have Blug Oil in my backyard, and you know, it is, I am in stiff competition with Jesse Jackson Jr., but, you know, wow, I can't believe that. And it's still unbelievable.
Yeah, well, you keep collecting those cans, and maybe someday it will happen for you. And speaking of collecting cans, a lot of people won some nice pocket change on Monday night at our holiday party. It was a really great time. We had about 400 to 500 people there in the chat room at any one time. And we gave away some really great prizes and hopefully made some people's Christmases very merry, so they could go out and buy some presents for their kids or for their friends or for themselves. It made us happy to do it, and we're looking forward to doing it again next year.
Yeah, definitely. And money, free money is always good. Speaking of free money, maybe I can win some free money while we're at Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yeah, I mean, you're just as good a chance as any of the other staff members who are attending CES. Let me explain to what's going on to everybody who's listening out there. You know, we all go out to CES on our own dime. When we go out to these big shows, normally it comes out of our own pockets. It doesn't come from satellite guys. It doesn't come from member donations, so on and so forth. And this year we're having a large group of satellite guy staff members go out to Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show. And, you know, while I'd like to be able to pay for everybody to go, there's just no way I can do that, unfortunately. So what we're doing for staff members who show up this year is that we will be giving away $500 as a cash prize to one of the staff members. And the way it's going to work is, before CES, I'm going to assign everybody a number from 1 to 10. And then on one of the nights of CES, we're going to look at the lottery numbers for Las Vegas. And if the person gets that number, the first number in that lottery number, we're going to go for the play 3. It goes to 0 to 9, actually. If the person hits that number, then that person wins $500. If nobody hits that number, then all the staff members split the prize among themselves so they could all be winners. It's going to be a nice time, and someone's either going to get $500 or they're going to get, you know, probably about $100 a piece for going. And it's our way of saying thanks from even and myself for helping us out for the Consumer Electronics Show.
Awesome, Scott. And I was actually hoping to hit the blackjack table so that way I can hear the one blackjack dealer there that says, "Winner, winner, chicken dinner."
I don't think the one who dealt for Chevy Chase is going to be there this year, Bob.
Oh, but other than that, I'm looking forward to CES. We're going to be doing a lot of coverage since DirecTV is going to be missing and Dish Network's going to be there. We're going to be doing a lot of coverage of other electronic associated items like Doubly Digital, also DTS, and a bunch of other stuff that you might be interested in. In fact, let us know if there's something you want to see so that way we can go cover it for you.
Yeah, this year, if you're a Satellite Guys member, especially if you're a pub member, because there's going to be some really good coverage, really unique coverage from Satellite Guys this year. And I don't want to give away any details yet, because I don't want somebody to say, "Hey, that's a smart idea, let's do that ourselves." But we're working on some brand new technology that just became available to us. And it's going to really take you to the floor of the Consumer Electronics Show. And I'm personally really, really excited about it. And hopefully when the time comes, you'll be really excited about it. Still working on some logistics of things. I don't know if some of the coverage is going to be made to supporting pub members only or not, just because of the bandwidth constraints of some of the stuff we're doing. But we should know within the next couple weeks. In fact, I've been spending all day today testing some technology that will allow us to really, really take you on the show floor. And I know Bob's excited about it. I'm excited about it. And we're just a couple weeks away here, so it's time for us to really, really get ready, get things packed up, and get ready for the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I want to see what Extreme HD's response is going to be to Netflix, as well as the DirecTV and Dish Network high-definition offerings in 1080p. And also, I'm looking forward to covering Fire TV live from the Adult Entertainment Expo.
Yeah, Fire TV, if I could talk about that for a second, they sent me over one of their new remotes this week. And it's almost like a Weeble, the new remote. It's kind of like an egg shape that fits in the palm of your hand and makes it easier to use than the old Fire TV remote that all the beta testers got when they signed up for the service. When I first got the remote, I couldn't figure out how to use it because the pin screen came up when I turned my Fire TV unit on. And since there's no number buttons on the new remote, I couldn't figure out how to enter the numbers in. So I had to find my old Fire TV remote, input my pin numbers into the screen to unlock it. And then once it did that, it downloaded a software update where the pin screen comes up and you can use your up and down arrows to select different numbers.
Awesome, Scott. So that's the music.
Yep, that is the music. And again, we thank everybody for their support, Satellite Guys. And thanks to everybody again for coming out for our holiday party on Monday night.
All right, well, we'll see you next week, and until then, we'll see you real soon.
See ya!
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Satellite Guys Podcast. If you have any questions or comments about our podcast, you can post them online at satelliteguys.us. Or you can email us at podcast@satelliteguys.us. Also remember, you too can be a part of our next podcast by leaving us a message at 815-907-5558. That number again, 815-907-5558. Go ahead and leave us a message. You just might hear it on our next show. Today's podcast was made possible by DishStore.net. On behalf of the entire crew at Satellite Guys Podcast, we'll see you again real soon.